Stand by. Your Steve Jones Show audio is loading now. SteveJonesShow.com podcasts are sponsored by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury, the beverage supermarket.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Should see Dan Wetzel's article on Gordon Gee today from Yahoo.com.
Right.
Says Ohio State President E. Gordon Gee's entire existence is centered on money, raising and spending, and attention, drawing it from adoring fans and dishing it out on wealthy alums. There's little else. There's no denying he's brilliant at it. The guy is a walking, talking, back slapping, joke telling, bow tie wearing, Orville Redenbacher looking. His description.
This is okay. Good. I like that. That's okay. Funny.
Okay, and that I'm talking about in parentheses. I mean, Gee has described himself as that down to earth academic who can and will charm you, Mr. and Mrs. Potential Donor, right out of your checkbook. Seriously, he's easy to like. It's why seemingly half the schools in America have hired him, including Ohio State twice. And you know I've always had the running joke about him that, you know, he's the Larry Brown of university presidents.
Right.
The difference is I really like Larry Brown. It's why seemingly half the schools in America have hired him. And that's why he'll almost assuredly keep his job, despite his latest wild comments that range from joking about Catholics, illiterate Southerners, and substandard integrity of universities in Kentucky, and even the hardwired greed of Big Ten Commissioner Jim Delaney. I mean, he took shots at Delaney, too. I'm thinking, you know, you're in great shape because of Jim Delaney, okay? Really. This is a university that when it comes to winning the big game, hasn't exactly succeeded a lot. A lot of those national championships are years where Woody didn't win the bowl game. They were doled out after the regular season. Same thing with Bo. Bo's bowl record was terrible. I mean, you guys go and look back at this stuff. Okay? Bowl games, especially Rose Bowls, that money's on the table at that. That's where it tells you what's going on. So a little bit of swagger that goes on there sometimes. You sit back and say, look, I've got the record in front of me. Boy, more bowl wins than you guys have bowl wins. He says, you know, the comments are just plain wrong, blah, 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 the geek comments, you know. When it came to the big nation, we couldn't trust Catholic priests, notably the late Reverend. They keep saying Ned Joyce. I think it's Edmund Joyce, isn't it? I met Father Joyce, who helped run the school. Father Joyce is a marvelous guy to me. He really was. The fathers are holy on Sunday, and they're holy hell the rest of the week, he said. You can't trust those damn Catholics on Thursday. Well done. When someone asked about the fans of the SEC mocking the Big Ten for having 14 schools and not, Gee, the former president of Vanderbilt, when old school stereotypes and crack the South for being uneducated. You tell the SEC that when they learn to read and write, lucky in Louisville. Later, he described the commissioner to make certain he keeps his hands out of our pockets while we support him. That dude negotiated contracts, $2.8 million for you last year. You did nothing but show up. Okay. You showed up, TV camera went on, he put a Big Ten network together to give you $8 million. What money is he taking from you? I don't understand. What money does Delaney take away from you? Jim, of course, knowing Jim, he's just probably just rolled his eyes and go, yeah, that's Gordo. The world loves Gordo, you know that? He'll charm you. No doubt. Some will be offended. I think the Kentucky-Louisville people are offended. Feel as you wish, unless there's a groundswell of anger. Yeah, and I could care less if they keep them or whatever. You don't call for people's job. Don't need to call for his job. Gee isn't likely a bigot, Wetzel writes. He's just a self-centered opportunist. desperate for glowing smiles and open wallets. In other words, the modern American university president. He's 69 years old. Why change? He turned himself into a very wealthy man at $1.6 million per year. He makes four times more than the president of the United States, acting in a way that gets billions raised for his schools. In the past, he has used jokes involving Polish stereotypes, made dumb analogies concerning football, insulted the ability of student athletes at other schools, and generally made a mockery of himself. He infamously joked in the middle of an otherwise sober news conference concerning an NCAA investigation that he hoped that the then Buckeyes football coach Jim Tressel wouldn't dismiss him. Oh. You can see this is what they've been dealing with for years.
I finally got a hold of that. A hold of that audio for you.
The fathers are holy on Sunday and they're holy hell on the rest of the week. you just can't trust those damn Catholics on a Thursday or Friday.
This.
Oh, yeah. Yes. Oh, well. He knows he was wrong. He said, but again, where do you get in? How often have I said this? Where do you usually get in trouble with speeches where people jump on you?
Trying to be amusing.
Yes. And that's what he's trying to be funny in front of the group. You know, that's where you get in trouble. You know?
Well, last couple of weeks alone in sports.
Right. Right. We've seen that a lot. Oh, you see it in regular life, too. It's not. Yeah. So, today's show brought to you by Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Here in the Sunbury Motor Studio, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motor Skier, it's 11 to 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And our number is 1-800-795-9565. Which calls? Love to hear from you. Get your thoughts on this. As a friend of mine said to me last night, there are no shortage of things for you to talk about, are there? I said, no. Rutgers thing, scheduling, SEC, Gordon Gee, lawsuits. NCAA responded, said that they were surprised they weren't informed by the lawyers beforehand about the suit. They have no obligation to inform somebody they're being sued. Here, you are served. Next. No obligation. I mean, that was the reaction to it. Now, they did say that they're looking forward to working with Penn State in the voluntary agreement between the two. That's how they referred to it at the NCAA, a voluntary agreement. And Senator Mitchell continues to file reports every 3 months on Penn State. They've all been glowing so far. Are we surprised by that? Here's the Big Ten that took that shot at Jim Delaney. Here are the Penn State numbers. The Penn State numbers for 2012. All right. Now the conference takes 4% of the rights fees, and the conference takes 6% of the bowl money. Okay. So just so you know, that's how it works. The conference does get a cut, but they get 4% of the rights fees from television. They get 6% of the bowl money. There's conference dues. You know, there are conference dues. Conference dues are $85,000. And there's the new Big Ten office being built, so everybody's kicked in. And Penn State's, I think, share was about $250,000. All right? Okay? Penn State, TV rights fees. Penn State got $7.3 million from the Big Ten Network. Then there's another $300,000 in Big Ten Network profits that were distributed total $7.6 million. When you add in then the ESPN CBS part was $10.1 million. This is what Penn State got. Penn State's total from TV rights, $17,745,000. Well, actually, $746,000, okay? That's how close it was. The NCAA Basketball Fund. The NCAA Basketball Fund, and again, Penn State gets, you know, it's done in units. For example, Penn State has earned the NCAA, the Big Ten, a unit by what they did with Temple 2 years ago. And that holds in for 5-6 years, okay? Those units actually hold for 6 years. Penn State's NCAA Basketball Fund money ended up being $1,675,000. Penn State did get bowl money in 2012, but they did not get it last year. In 2012, the bowl cut was $2,600,000. The NCAA is a broad-based fund, $1.5 million. Football championship game. When Nebraska came in, Nebraska, as the 12th team, ended up being a $25 million contract. In the end, the net for Penn State out of that was $388,000. Penn State also gets a cut for what happens at the Big Ten tournament. That's $421,000. There's an NCAA supplemental income number of almost $300,000. When it's all said and done, in 2012, Penn State got $24,675,000. Ohio State got $24,781,000. Iowa was at the bottom at $24,666,000. Now, Nebraska was not a fully integrated member on the financial side of it. So Nebraska's total was $14.3 million. Nebraska is fully integrated in the latest numbers, and the latest numbers are going to be $25.8 million. So it was $24.7, almost $24.8 last year. It's going to be $25.8, $25.9 for this upcoming year. So that's how it breaks down, okay? Okay, so that was for fiscal 2012. In fiscal 2013, there will be no bowl money in there for Penn State. Just so you know. So that's how the numbers work. You're bedazzled at the moment.
I'm swimming in numbers.
Now, here's the other part. Now, here's what's not included in that number. Okay? It does not include, okay, the 6 million plus, almost 7 million plus that they get from Learfield for radio rights. Okay? That's not included in that number. Because that doesn't come from the conference. That's a direct negotiated number. Okay?
What about any national radio coverage? How's that handled?
That's handled through the Big Ten. Through the Big Ten, and there really isn't there. You know what? There really isn't any national radio coverage. I mean, I don't think there was one national radio broadcast of Penn State this past year. Now there is what Sports USA.
Yep. Dial Compass, Global does some too.
Dial Global does some. Sports USA. I don't know if Compass does college. Compass does the NFL, right?
I believe so, yeah.
Yeah. There really isn't a lot of that, and I think they negotiate that with the conferences. For the most part, your national radio deal is your serious, and that's included in here, is your Sirius XM deal, which the Big Ten negotiates. Your Sirius XM deal. Every Penn State home game is on Sirius XM, football and basketball. And there are also some select road games that are on SiriusXM as well. That's negotiated by the Big Ten. That's essentially your national radio deal. So that's how the numbers work. And I've talked about it, and the numbers are important. I mean, that's how they work. As I mentioned, there's certain things, and it breaks down. Football's profits like $26 million. Men's basketball profits is like $4.6, $7 million, somewhere in that neighborhood. And you need that because it's offset, for example. And again, you try not to, you know, this is not a, hey, let's pick on them because they have a great program. But women's basketball loses $2.9 million a year. It's, you know, that's just a fact of life. That's not a criticism. Those are factual numbers. I mean, the Department of Education will tell you what those numbers are. You just have to be able to add and subtract. So that's what, you know, that's why you need all this money. That's in the end, do you turn a slight profit? Yeah, but it's being drained and siphoned off in a lot of different directions as you go through. Amazing. You know, that's why we've talked about scheduling. It's why you need a seventh home game. That's why when this whole thing about scheduling came up, what did I say in February and March about Penn State's schedule if they went to nine games? I said that they had to have five home games in a nine-game schedule in the Big Ten in the even years. Reason being, they have Pitt on the road in even years. Non-conference, so you need the other two conference games plus the five to get the seven. Okay, logic can take you in the direction of answers. And in the end, when they went to nine conference games, what happened? Penn State in the even years got seven home games. So logic can take you, can actually get you the answers that you're seeking. You sit back and say, okay, they need seven home games. Gee, in 16 and 18, they already have Pitt scheduled on the road. So you're going to lobby hard that you get the five home games in the conference in those years, because in the years that you have four, you have the three openings anyway, you're in good shape, including Pitt being here. So, I mean, that's how logic takes you toward the answers. Today's show is brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury. It's the weekend. Beverages, snacks, pickle bar. So we continue here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Ready for a quality pre-owned vehicle? Well, get them before they go to auction at Sunbury Motors. Go to sunburymotors.com and click on pre-auction blowout. Like a 2012 Ford Fiesta 5-door hatchback SE, call for our lowest price promise, 888-536-8017. A 2011 Ford Fusion 4-door sedan with 4-wheel drive, just $14,992. 2012 Hyundai Veloster 3-door coupe, $16,899. 2010 Ford F-150 Super Crew, $25,999. 998, 2010 Jeep Wrangler Unlimited 4-door Sahara, $26,994, and a 2010 Ford Roush Mustang 427R. Call for the price, 888-536-8017. These deals won't last, so hurry in. All come with a Carfax report and our lowest price promise. Pre-auction blowout, 24/7 at sunburymotors.com, at the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at our dealership, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sunbury Motors, a tradition of trust since 1915.
The best get-togethers start with a trip to the beverage supermarket, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury. Why? Because Brewers Outlet has not only a great selection of beer, including imports and microbrews, but also a lot more. Brewers Outlet has water, soda, they roast their peanuts every day, and you can't forget about stopping by the pickle bar. Look for great deals on wine coolers and all your favorite snacks. Before you enjoy those special times with family and friends, make your visit first to the beverage supermarket, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury.
It's not about the money, money, money. We don't need your money, money, money. We just want to make the world.
Get it done. If you love your softball, your volleyball, your soccer, and you know, and so on and so forth, you need the cash to do it. Penn State, by the way, Bill O'Brien saying today that the Nittany Lions are really close to finalizing an overseas trip to Ireland. In all likely, it would be the opening game of next season, 14. Right now, it looks like the favorite would be Central Florida. Now, they're going to play here at Beaver Stadium this year. There's no game penciled in against Central Florida for next year. But Dave Hansen, who's the senior associate athletic director for internal operations at UCF, told the Orlando Sentinel that logistically it's not easy, but they're working on it. And today, Bill O'Brien did confirm that they are really close to finalizing the trip to Ireland for the 2014 season. All right? So that's where that stands at this time. So just a little slice of news today out of the Coaches versus Cancer golf tournament. So a lot going on. Final half hour for the week is coming up. And next week, we tee it up at the Purdy Memorial Golf Tournament. Stand back. Kevin's hitting.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
The independent monitor of Penn State's adherence to NCAA sanctions says the school is pressing forward in good faith and fulfilling its obligations. Former U.S. Senator George Mitchell delivered his third quarterly report today. As the independent athletics integrity monitor, he cited the school's appointments of an athletics integrity officer and an ethics and compliance director as highlights in the last 3 months. Mitchell took on the role after the NCAA slammed Penn State last summer with landmark penalties in the Jerry Sandusky child sex abuse scandal. University President Rodney Erickson says Mitchell's latest update validates the significant reforms over the past year. The report comes a day after the family of former head coach Joe Paterno and others connected to Penn State filed a lawsuit seeking to overturn the sanctions. So, as we told you, the latest Mitchell report, I told you would be coming out this week, came out today, and by golly, they're just doing fine. Yeah. Ohio State's going to add 2,500 more seats. We're going to get to 104,829. That will move them to third behind just Michigan and Penn State. Michigan is 109,901. Penn State, 106,572. Remember, Penn State lost 800 seats when they conformed to ADA in the first three rows. All right, remember that?
Yes.
That's why you see the number lower. Ohio State in 14 will be at 104,829. Tennessee will be at 102,455. Alabama at 101,821. Texas at 100,119. Now, eventually, Texas A&M gets into the 100 range, too, when they add their seats.
Looking at Michigan, and I've never sat in any of the seats. I visited it one time. It looked like, and you enter almost, 20 rows from the top of the stadium, give or take? I mean, that's just a best guess.
Right.
I mean, you
right.
enter really high into the stadium. I remember that.
Right.
My question is, it looks like when you walk into that place, if you're on, the top 20 to 25 rows, it looks like you're miles away from the field. Because of the way the stadium is built.
Well, the stadium looks a little different than you were there. Let's start with that. When's the last time you were there?
Three.
Okay, it's completely different now in terms of how it looks. Well, no, in terms of how it looks. And it's also different in terms of noise. I mean, it's 100. It's one of the few places you could be where 111,000 sounded like 12 people were there, like I am. How lovely they are. Because the way it was spread out, the noise didn't stay in. Now Michigan Stadium has become a loud stadium because they have built two structures on each side. One is a new press box with luxury suites on one side and then luxury suites on the other side. And those two huge structures have changed the look of Michigan Stadium dramatically and also changed the noise quotient in there. How does Michigan get 109,000 901 in there. And, of course, you know, there's another 5,000. So you usually get to about 114,000. How they do it, the seats are 16 inches wide. They're all bleachers. And
I think I remember 16, you saying that.
They're 16 inches wide. No offense, America has not had an average seat of 16 inches wide in probably about 50 years.
I can sit in half the seat.
The seats, for example, the new seats in Beaver Stadium, I believe, are 21. I believe that's the standard. 21 or 22. I think it's 21.
I think it was 09 when I was there last. I don't remember a second press box, though.
Then the structure would have been there, because 09 they were building it.
When was Penn State? Let's see, it was Penn State, Michigan State. We're on our way back. Penn State had won the Big Ten that year,
2005.
So it would have been five. Okay, so I was in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it would have been five because we stopped on the way back home, just to say we did.
All right, but the seats at Michigan Stadium are 16 inches wide.
It just, that was the first thing that I thought as I walked in. I'm like, wow, you are, feels like miles away from the field.
No, I don't get that feeling there, Kevin. I mean, I, you know, because
the stadium was empty too, so that might have something to do with it.
Right. The press box is on top of it. It's not in the, there are no decks.
Right.
So when I'm in there, I'm at the top highest level of the stadium. And I don't think it's that high.
That being said, it was rather strange on a Sunday that you could walk into the stadium without anybody looking at you.
Kevin, in Florida, the swamp, you can walk in anytime you want. I went down for the NIT. You know, Penn State went through shoot-around, the whole thing at the O'Connell Center. So Dick and I walked across the street, walked right in. Stadium's open till 9. Walk right in. People were in there sunning themselves. The warm March afternoon, they were sunning themselves.
What's the best baseball stadium to watch a game?
Best baseball stadium?
Yeah. Because a lot of the new stadiums now, the seats are right on top.
PNC Park, I think, in Pittsburgh. It's the best one I've been to.
I could agree with that. I've only seen it from the outside. I haven't seen a game there, but I know I have a lot of friends that have, and they're very pleased with it.
Yeah, I mean, I've seen a lot of games in there. I think it's terrific.
I did ask that same friend why so few seats, and he said, "Have you been to a Pirates game lately?"
But that's how That's how they built. That's how they built parks. There are no parks that are being built that have huge seating capacities anymore. They kind of you don't see that anymore. Oh, good. Friend of mine won. Oh, that's terrific. Friend of mine won a silent auction, 4 tickets to a Phillies game on July 14th. I got nothing going on. How about that? I'm going. Oh, that'll be great. Well, yeah, it's like a 1 o'clock game. I don't even know who the hell they're playing.
What, is it July 14th, you said?
Yeah, yeah.
I'll tell you in a minute.
Let's see. Find out. Yeah, you know. My luck, it's probably like the Astros.
I don't know about that. Let's see.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, hey, let's see the Astros. I don't want to see the Astros.
July 14th. That'll be the White Sox.
White Sox?
The White Sox.
Oh, my goodness. Okay. I've seen the White Sox so many times in my lifetime.
Well,
really?
Can you do me a favor? Because Travel Mug Day. Can you bring that back for me?
Oh, I'm not doing that.
Well, you're going to get one, and you're never going to use it.
Well, what do you mean I might have? Who says I won't use it?
You can't use it.
Why can't I use it?
You cannot use a Phillies travel mug if you're a Boston fan. That's just wrong. What?
Does it contain coffee?
That's not the point. There's no B on the front of it. There's a P on the front of it. You should not. It's just not allowed.
That didn't come out right.
The letter, okay? It's just not allowed. Oh, boy.
So I have to get a Phillies travel mug.
We don't. No, you will get one.
I will get one.
Yes.
Okay, so if I get a Phillies travel mug.
Right.
And so I have to give it to you?
Yes.
Why?
Because you can't use it. That would be like me using a Boston travel mug. This is wrong. You're having trouble with this, aren't you?
It's travel mug day? Really?
It's travel mug day, yes. It's a 135 start against the White Sox. You can take part in the Phillies charity auction. It'll be at the First Base Plaza as well.
It's Pennsylvania Auto Theft Prevention Authority travel.
Right.
Oh, yeah, I guess there it is. Okay, that's nice. I like that. I think I'll keep it.
You can't!
Why not? Why can't I keep it? What do I care? I told the group today about your Pennzoil story. They're all from First National Bank. Your loan days are done. I think you're nuts. I'll tell Wheels I'm going down. Maybe I'll just go down, take the tickets, and go sit in the booth for a while. What do you think? Mike in Elizabethtown. Mike, how are you today? It's great to hear from you.
Thanks for taking my call. Actually, it's Elizabethville.
Elizabethville, oh, it's great to hear from you. That was my fault. That was my fault because it is actually correct on the screen.
Oh, that's okay. I was just going to ask, what's the feeling about the paternal lawsuit? You probably have covered it this week, but is the community sort of wanting to move on, or are they behind trying to get the wins restored for Paterno's record? And I'll hang up and listen to that.
All right, Mike. There are a lot of people, obviously, who would want to see the wins restored because that is an absolutely illogical sanction against Penn State. But there goes Mike from Elizabethville. But Mike did, in all fairness, say he was going to listen, hang up and listen. The feeling is, let's wait and see how it turns out. I think that's the feeling I'm getting from everybody. Now, for Bill O'Brien, and I talked to Bill today, I mean, you know, Bill has to keep pushing forward and planning for the 2013-14 season, 15, how to handle the sanctions and so forth. He's got a lot on his plate he needs to deal with. Mike, what I've told people the entire time is this, and I said this last summer and I'll continue to say this. There are people with means that are willing to fight this, and a lot of the people with means to fight it, because it takes means to do so. This is going to be a long process. This is not going to be overnight, voila, it's solved. It's just not the way it is. And people have asked me, such as yourself, Mike, what can they do? Well, what you can do is continue to support Penn State, support the players, support what Bill O'Brien is doing, support a Mike Hull, support a Zach Zwinak and Allen Robinson and John Urschel. You know, because, you know, the players deserve your support. You can be the greatest recruiters for Penn State by showing up 109,000 strong in Beaver Stadium and showing the world how you feel about your university, while at the same time making sure that whenever something comes up with child abuse prevention, that you are actively involved in that as well, because that's an important part. And Penn State has done a lot in that regard. And that way, when somebody decides to use the trump card about, oh, what about the kids? You can tell them point blank at Penn State they do a lot of things in so many positive ways about the kids. So people with means are willing to fight. Let them fight. And I think that's the tact I've taken. Wellsboro's the next stop. Hi, Doug. Thank you for waiting.
Hi, Steve. How are you?
I'm well, Doug. It's really nice to hear from you.
Hey, a quick question. How was Ireland decided on as a game for next year? Was it because Notre Dame and Navy did it before and it's doable? Mm-hmm. How did Ireland come up?
Well, that's a really good question because I think a lot of people, Doug, probably think Hawaii is the great destination all the time. And what's happened is that Hawaii, it used to be that if you played Hawaii, you could really tack it on at the end of your schedule as a 13th game because it's played outside the continental U.S., but after the 2010 season, that rule changed. And so it has to be a part of your 12-game schedule in your four non-conference games. Also, you have to have a willing partner in order to do that. And Hawaii right now says they are scheduled out, so that is not an option for Penn State. It turned out that the Irish Sports Federation has been very active in trying to get American football there, and thus the Notre Dame-Navy game was born out of that last year. And they felt with Penn State, which was also active in trying to seek this to happen, they felt they could do this again as a destination game for two teams. So the Irish Sports Federation is very active in trying to make things like this happen. Penn State's a willing partner. They had to find somebody else that would be willing. It appears the clubhouse leader is Central Florida on that, but they're really close to getting it done. It's not quite done yet.
Another subject. Tell me his name's going to be back in the jerseys this year. I saw the new jerseys. I hate them. His name's going to be in the back of the jerseys.
What do you hate about the jerseys?
I don't like that little logo in the front.
Oh, the Nittany Lion?
Yeah.
Oh, that's a standard. That's a standard Nike thing on everybody's uniforms.
Well,
I mean, everybody's doing that. I mean, I was watching a game the other night, Reebok. With the Penn, it was a Stanley Cup playoff game. I think it was Detroit and Chicago. And then the NHL logos in the front. The NFL has logos in the front of their jersey. I mean, a lot of people are doing that. That's become a standard thing. I don't think that's. I looked at. Spider showed me this back in March. And in fact, the original ones they had sent in were much bigger, and they had to actually go out and get smaller ones to go up front that actually fit where the V is. You, as a fan, are not even going to notice it. You'll see it on TV, but when you're in person, you won't even notice it.
Does Bill have the final say on that stuff?
On that, when it comes to names in the back, he and the players have the final say on that. But you have to do it early enough, because last year they did it so late that Karen Caldwell was the one that was trying to sew them on her by hand, well, or with a machine at home, trying to get it done because it happened so late. Now, by giving advance notice, and I haven't asked Bill yet whether they're putting names on the back or not, but they, I mean, that little Nittany Lion logo is going to be in the same spot everybody else is going to have their logos as well. Plus, the Big Ten logo is mandated to be on the front. It must be there on the front. And, of course, Nike has the swoosh. So that's mandated, and that includes basketball too.
Yeah, I knew about the Big Ten logo and the swoosh. They have to be there, but, I mean, I like the personally, I like the old ones from like 78, 79, you know, the plain, the gray face mask, the old stuff. This new stuff I just don't like, but that's personal opinion.
Hey, well, Doug, they're not going insane like Oregon. it's still pretty plain. I mean, there are no stripes on that jersey or anything like that. I mean, it's pretty plain.
Yeah. Hey, last thing is, I've been following the lawsuit pretty closely, but isn't the bottom line that the university signed a consent decree, Joe was an employee, so what the Paternos are doing, things like that, yes, it has merit, but legally it has no standing. The university signed a consent decree, Joe was an employee, so they don't really have a leg to stand on.
Well, they filed it in Center County Court. Let's start with that. Now, do you think a judge in Center County Court is going to put the brakes on it?
No.
And so by moving forward, that then brings you to discovery. And one of the things that they want to see in the lawsuit is how much communication there was between the Free Group and the NCAA in the months leading up to the sanctions. That is a very important point as to, you know, was there communication between those two sides? I don't know whether there was or not, but was there communication between the two sides, and why did the communication take place between the two sides?
It's like we've been saying all along. We keep waiting for the trial, but I want, before I have a final verdict on Joe, I want to see what comes out in the trials, the specific facts. I think it'll come in Joe's favor. I think it'll come in Joe's favor, but I want to see. We're gonna have to wait for the trials to see hard facts, what he knew, things like that. I know it'll be in Joe's favor, but it is what it is.
Doug, I mean, the bottom line is this: there are two people that have not said a syllable in all this, Tim Curley and Gary Schultz. They're the ones that can put the context to the emails those 14 emails, they're the ones that can give you the context as to what's in those emails and why. They're the ones that can give you context as to whether they contacted Children and Youth Services, which, you know, they're the ones that can give you context as to contacting the Second Mile, which according to testimony they did, which actually was Jerry Sandusky's employer at the time. Penn State was not his employer. So they're the ones that can give you context. And, of course, the infamous email of Coach Tim Curley once at trial can answer exactly who is Coach.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying. Hey,
all people want. Go ahead, Doug.
I'm sorry. I listen to you guys' show every day, even though I don't call in every week. I listen to you guys' show. I really enjoy it. So stay on the air.
Thank you, Doug. Thanks, Doug. Well, I think we're okay in that regard, and we're having a blast doing it, and I hope we're getting out information that's a little bit different than everybody else. We try to give you as much perspective as possible, and I greatly appreciate your call and the fact that you're listening.
Thank you, Steve.
All right. Yeah, I think the most important part, and as I pointed out many times, people want two things in the Penn State situation. And I don't mean move on, and I don't mean wins restored and so forth. I think there are two things that everybody wants to see: truth and fairness. Not speculation, not guesswork. People want to see truth, and they want to see fairness. It sounds simple. It's not easy to get to. But in the end, that's what people want. When they hear the truth will then lead one way or the other to fairness. And it could be a plus or minus. Whatever is fair, plus or minus, is what people want, because it will be derived from the truth. We'll wrap it up in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Yeah, you want a travel mug for nothing, don't you?
You're not going to use it. You're not going to do anything with it.
Au contraire, mon frere.
You can't use it.
Why not?
It is unethical.
Unethical?
It is unethical.
Mug. It's a travel mug.
Unethical. It is unethical for a fan of another team to use a travel mug or anything from someone else's team. It's just not right.
You know what's right?
What?
You know what's not right?
What?
Your rants forcing the rest of us to be tested.
Tested for what?
What do you think?
Oh, I know where you're going.
I mean, come on.
It's voluntary. It's not mandatory.
We don't need to be inconvenienced by your insanity. We have HR rules, you know. You know what? After another week with you, another stop, the Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, and somebody at the Beverage Supermarket, I need that, especially the peanuts. Oh.